Welcome to the teaching ministry of Stephen Fraser and Life of Faith Bible Church, an outreach dedicated to helping you triumph in every area of life. Now here's Pastor Fraser with today's message.
Right now we're in a series entitled Healing from the Beginning, and this series is showing us that healing is not just a New Testament thing with the Lord Jesus, but that healing goes all the way back to the beginning. And we started with the healing of Abimelech. We looked at the healing of Sarah, the healing of Rebekah. We saw that even Moses got healed. And then Moses went into Israel, and the children of Israel were slaves in Egypt. And we know that if they were slaves, they were a broken people. They were a people that had been overworked, they had been beaten, they were abused, they were poorly clothed, they were undernourished, they were sickly. And yet Psalm 105 verse 37 tells us that he also brought them out. God brought them out with silver and gold, and there was none feeble among all their tribes. And there was about 3 to 4 million people. And so there wasn't one feeble. Not only wasn't there anyone sickly, there wasn't even anyone feeble. So that includes the elderly, that includes everybody. There wasn't one feeble one among all their tribes out of 3 to 4 million people. What an amazing miracle of healing that must have taken place there. And we saw that the secret of their healing was the Passover lamb that they had put their faith in. We know that they partook of that lamb, and they put the blood of the lamb over the doorposts of their house. And as a result of that, that death angel couldn't come in there and kill the firstborn. But not only did that blood take care of the firstborn, but it drove death completely out of the entire camp of Israel. It drove death out in every form that it might come in. Sickness, disease, feebleness. All death, every kind of death was driven out of the camp. How? Through the blood of the Lamb. Through the blood of the Lamb. And of course, that blood was a type of the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, the Lord Jesus Christ, who we have today. So if we'll apply the blood of the Lamb of God over our life today, then we can be assured that death, premature death, sickness, disease, even feebleness can be driven out of our life. Hallelujah. We need to have faith in the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. Somebody say, thank God for the blood of Jesus. And then we also looked at the tree that was cast into the bitter waters. And it healed the waters. And waters in the Word of God are a type of people, humanity. And so when the tree, which is a type of the cross, was thrown into humanity, was applied to their lives, people's lives went from being bitter to being sweet, and they were healed. Can you say amen? And then we saw in Leviticus 14, which is for the most part a medical book from heaven. Don't tell me God's not a healer and interested in us walking in divine health. He gave us a whole medical book there, Leviticus chapter 14. And we saw in there the sacrifice of the bird that was killed in an earthen vessel for the healing of leprosy. Remember the two birds that the priest was instructed to take and put into an earthen vessel, and the one was to be killed and the blood poured out, and then the other bird was to be dipped in the blood. And there was a lot of types and shadows that we looked at there, and they were to take the living bird and that was dipped in the blood of the bird that was killed, and then take that living bird and the blood that's on it and sprinkle it on the leper, saying it's because of the blood. Because of the blood, you are healed of leprosy. And then the bird was let free, let go free. Hallelujah. And of course, that's a type of you and I, washed in the blood of Jesus, healed and set free. Praise God. Now tonight, we're going to look at the year of Jubilee God had given to the children of Israel. So go with me to Leviticus chapter 25. Now we're going to pick it up here in verse 8, but the verses previous to that, verses 1 through 7, talk about the law of the Sabbath year. You know, our God is big on rest. He was big on the Sabbath. You know, we see that in Genesis. After God created everything, the Bible says on the seventh day he rested from all his work. And that's what the Sabbath is. It's a time of rest and restoration, recuperation. And so God instructed the children of Israel that they were to have a weekly Sabbath, that every Saturday they were to do no work. Imagine a God who commands you not to go to work. A God who wants you to rest. That's the kind of God we serve. Now, the God of this world is the devil. And he will drive people hard. And he'll just keep people going. And he'll keep people living for money and trying to make ends meet. But not our God. Our God is a God of rest. And he believes in you having a day off. You know, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He wants you to enjoy a Sabbath rest today as well. So they would take off on Saturdays back then, and it would be a day of rest. But then not only that, God would have them have a Sabbath year as well. That every seventh year that they were to take the entire year off. Nobody was to sow anything in their fields. They weren't to harvest anything. They were just to rest and vacation for an entire year. Come on, somebody. That sounds like my kind of nation. That sounds like the kind of world I want to live in. Every 7 years, take the whole year off. And then, he doesn't stop there. Then he says, okay, now, after seven Sabbath years, every 7 years, there's a Sabbath year. So now we're talking about seven Sabbath years. So that's seven times seven, which is 49 years. So in the 49th year, and it's actually called the 50th year, in the 50th year, you're to have a jubilee. So you're not just to take the year off and rest and relax, spend some extra time worshiping God, and so forth. He says, not only that, he said, in the year of the Jubilee, the 50th year, he said, that's a time where all your debts are to be canceled. If anyone has sold themselves as a slave, they're to be released from slavery and to be able to return home to their family. If you've lost some property, you know, you couldn't pay your mortgage and the bank came and took it or what have you, you're to get your property back. Everything is to be restored to you in the year of Jubilee. Friend, this is the kind of God we serve. He is a God of rest. He's a God of restoration. That's who he is. And so notice here in verse 8 of Leviticus 25, it says, "And you shall count seven Sabbaths of years for yourself. Seven times 7 years, and the time of the seven Sabbaths of years shall be to you 49 years. Then you shall cause the trumpet of the Jubilee to sound on the 10th day of the seventh month, on the Day of Atonement. You shall make the trumpet to sound throughout all your land." So it was actually at the close of the Day of Atonement. That was another feast that God had established for the children of Israel to observe, another holiday for them to observe. And it was a time where they were to humble themselves and they were to come and present sacrifices before the Lord and confess their sins and have their sins atoned for. So at the close of the Day of Atonement, the children of Israel, now that all their guilt has been washed away, and their relationship with God has been restored and strengthened, that's when the Jubilee begins. And it is announced by people going throughout the country, blowing trumpets, with a certain sound, making a certain distinction in the sound that people would recognize what this sound of the trumpet meant. It was the year of Jubilee. It had begun. Verse 10, and you shall consecrate the 50th year. See, now he's talking about the 50th year. And proclaim liberty throughout all the land to all its inhabitants. Everybody say liberty.
Liberty.
Liberty. You know, the New Testament says over in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, it says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Liberty. God is a God of liberty. And so he says, verse 10 again, and you shall consecrate the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout all the land to all its inhabitants. Everybody's to get in on this. Everybody's to experience complete freedom. Freedom from all bondage. Freedom from all debt. Freedom from all oppression. It shall be a jubilee for you, and each of you shall return to his possession, and each of you shall return to his family. Because again, if you are a slave, then now you can go back to your family. Verse 11, the 50th year shall be a jubilee to you. In it you shall neither sow nor reap what grows of its own accord, nor gather the grapes of your untended vine. For it is the jubilee. It shall be holy to you. You shall eat its produce from the field. This is the year of jubilee. Each of you shall return to his possession. Isn't that a good deal? How many would like that? All your credit card debt just wiped out. Clean slate. You're not in debt to anybody. If you've lost anything, you get it back. Praise God. This is what God had instructed them to do. Well, we know that the Old Testament and all these holidays, these observances, they are all pointing to Jesus. Day of Atonement. It's all pointing to Jesus. He came and he was a sacrifice for our sins. Isn't that right? He came, he was crucified for you and I so that all our guilt could be washed away. And now there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. We are the righteousness of God in him. Well, what's to follow that? Total liberty. Total freedom. A time of jubilee. Amen. A time of jubilee. And notice over here in Luke chapter 4. Hold your place there in Leviticus because we'll be back. But Luke, the 4th chapter. I mean, you really just need to take some time to just meditate on that. That your God is a God of Sabbath rests, days off, vacations, jubilee. Now, you'd think nobody would have a problem in obeying a command like that. Take it easy, rest. Take the year off, in fact. You think, no, people would have a problem with that. But you know what's amazing? People do have a problem with it. People have a tough time letting go. Letting go of the works of their hands. Because many times people are looking to themselves to be able to make it in life. They're looking to themselves, and because of fear, I've got to go to work. I've got to do this. I don't have time. I don't have time for this. I don't have time for that. What, are you kidding me? Friend, that's ungodly thinking. That's walking in the flesh. That's walking in unbelief concerning your God. If you're following the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, if you're following the God that established these holidays under the old covenant, then you're following a God that's going to lead you into a life of liberty where you're going to just be busy with the joy of your heart. Come on. And you're going to have time, some times of refreshing, some times of relaxation. That's what God's going to lead you into. So this is go, 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 go. And there's some folks, they don't even have a job, but they're still going, going, going on the inside. They're a nervous wreck. Worried and troubled about everything. Just uptight about everything. So we got to loosen up. Say, you know, I trust God. He's my provider. He's my provider. He's the one that's taking care of me. Jesus is my Lord. Notice here, Jesus in Luke chapter 4, he comes into his hometown and he stands up to preach. Verse 17 says, he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. When he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Or we could say the year of the Lord's favor. The year of the Lord's favor. Friend, I got news for you. In Christ Jesus, every year is a year of jubilee. Because now through Jesus, we have continuous favor with the Almighty God. God's face shines on us 24/7. Our sins are washed in the blood of Jesus, and we are forever the righteousness of God in him. So when Jesus stood up and preached, what he was doing was he was announcing New Testament jubilee. He was declaring that he was the fulfillment of the year of jubilee that the children of Israel were observing under the old covenant. It's here. And it's not just once a year, but it's to be continuous. I said it's to be continuous. You and I should be living a continual vacation, even walking out our vocation. Our vocation should be a continual vacation in the Lord. When we're in faith, trusting him for the outcome, trusting him to provide for us. We're not looking to ourselves. We're not looking to the works of our own hands to make it in life. Yeah, we're working, but we're doing it as under the Lord. Without a care in the world. We got all our cares casted on him. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. We don't have to have a day of atonement because we are now forever the righteousness of God in him. Woo, hallelujah. Liberty, liberty. That's what the New Testament gospel is all about. It's about liberty, jubilee. And so you and I now as believers, we are to lift up the gospel trumpet. And we are to blow that trumpet and declare liberty throughout the land. And let people know, bless God, you don't have to be a slave to sin anymore. You can return to God. You can return home to Father God. You can be the righteousness of God in him. You don't have to be oppressed by anything. You don't have to be bound by anything. You don't have to be indebted to the devil or anything. But Jesus became poor that you might be made rich. He became sick that you might be healed. Healing belongs to you. That's a part of the gospel. Come on. If they proclaimed it throughout the land under the old covenant before they were born again and people were completely set free and were able to enjoy a time of complete freedom, liberty, how much more you and I today under the new covenant? Somebody say, life is good in Jesus. It's real good in Jesus because he's our jubilee. Jesus is our jubilee. It's always a jubilee year in Jesus. Hallelujah. Because on the inside, there's no more stress. There's no more worries. There's no more bondage. There's no more cares. Hallelujah. On the outside, there's no more sickness. There's no more disease. There's no more poverty. There's no more shame. Free indeed. Free indeed. Through sin, we had lost our possessions, our fellowship with God, our right to healing, health, strength. But now through Jesus Christ, it's all been restored. Can you say amen? Amen. Now, moving on from Leviticus, we come to the book of Numbers, which talks much about the wanderings of the children of Israel in the wilderness as they were being led by Moses. They were constantly getting themselves into trouble by resisting God, falling into sin, and opening the door to the devil. And many times out in that wilderness, the devil came and struck them, the children of Israel, with all kinds of sicknesses, diseases. But time and time again, our healing God, our merciful God, our Jubilee Jesus was there in the wilderness with them, healing them, setting them free. Let's go to Numbers chapter 11 tonight. We see here in verse 1, it says, "Now when the people complained, it displeased the Lord." Now this was something they did quite regularly. In fact, they were kind of addicted to it. Complaining. You know, complaining can be an addiction for people. Where they just can't help themselves. They just complain about everything. I mean, it doesn't matter how many good things are going on. They're going to find something to complain about. They're going to gripe about something. Their life is just so miserable. But notice here, verse 1 says, "Now the people complained, and it displeased the Lord. For the Lord heard it, and his anger was aroused. So the fire of the Lord burned among them and consumed some in the outskirts of the camp. Then the people cried out to Moses, and when Moses prayed to the Lord, the fire was quenched. So he called the name of the place Taberah, because the fire of the Lord had burned among them." And Taberah means burning. So this fire of the Lord burned among them, and these people were struck by it. This Bible says in verse 1 again that it burned among them and consumed some in the outskirts of the camp. Then the people cried out to Moses. You know, they always complained against Moses, but in their darkest hour, they knew where to run to. You know, there's people, they'll complain about, you know, there's fanatics over there. You know, they're just, she's lost her mind. She's the black sheep of the family. People say all kinds of things about you, but then they get into a major crisis, and you know where they're going to go to. For prayer. Would you pray for me? What happened to the fanatic? Huh? What happened to the nutcase? Now all of a sudden, you want me to pray for you. Because many times people in their heart know better. It's just pride that keeps them from acknowledging it. But many times when they get in a trial or a test, that's when they're forced to speak out what they really believe and ask for your help. So they cried out to Moses and they asked for his help. Now, notice what caused these people to be consumed to begin with. It was their complaining. Complaining. So we need to take heed to that complaining can consume you. In fact, Galatians chapter 5, we're in the New Testament now, verse 14 says, Galatians 5:14, "For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another." So we have to watch about getting into strife. Because if we get into strife, the devil gets in the middle of it. And how many people know he's got a bunch of fiery darts? Right? Bible tells us in Ephesians 6, verse 16, "Above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one." So complaining will release fiery darts. That's why you got to realize, you know, it's not worth it. Getting into strife is not worth it. Because there's more going on than just the flesh. There are devils looking for opportunities to fire things at us. So it's just not worth it. It's not worth trying to prove yourself right. You're just better off zipping it. Just close your mouth. Go your way and trust the Lord. Say something lovely. Say something, find something nice in the midst of all the unloveliness. That's being spiritual. Again, being spiritual isn't doing something kind of weird and strange. Being spiritual is walking in love. Because when you're walking in love, you're fulfilling all of God's commandments. You're walking perfect before God. You're walking fully pleasing to Him. So we need to keep ourselves in the love of God by not complaining, not whining, not getting into strife, not going to enter into it. Praise God. And if you'll do that, stay in the love of God, then you'll keep God fighting on your behalf. And your faith will quench every fiery dart of the wicked one. Thank God for the faith of Moses. Moses is a type of Jesus who was to come, but also he's a type of those who come in the name of Jesus today. He prayed for the people. He released his faith, and the fire was quenched. The fiery darts were quenched. And when you and I pray in the name of Jesus, we've got an audience with God, folks. Come on. As we grow in our faith, we understand just how much of an audience we have with God. Understand that God communicated with Moses the way he did because of Moses' faith in God. Moses had a great faith for fellowship with God. He expected to hear from God. He expected to be heard when he spoke to God. He expected that. So he had faith, and that's why there was all this interaction. Well, friend, you and I are growing in our faith, growing in our relationship with God, so that we can now go out and we can help other people. We can use our faith to help quench the fiery darts of the devil that have been released in their life. Can you say amen? Now, I just want to make this statement clear, because I don't like giving any place to the devil in anybody's life. So I just like covering as many bases as possible. But just so you know, if you do get into strife, if you do miss it, if you'll just repent, it takes faith to repent. And when you repent, you will be forgiven and your shield of faith will come up and it will quench any kind of burning that has been released by the devil. Come on. So don't just sit there and say, we complained last night and I'm afraid we're all going to die. No, you don't have to worry about that. If you just rise up, repent, release your faith, quench it. Put out the fire. I mean, if God will use you as a believer in Him to quench the fires of hell in other people's lives, how much more can you quench the fires in your own life that you released because of foolishness? Devil's got no place in us. So the people were healed there through the faith of Moses. Then we come over to Numbers 12. Isn't He a merciful God? He's a healing God. He healed those people, all whining and complaining, and He still healed them. They opened the door to the devil. Devil's firing fiery darts. But Moses prayed because he had the heart of God, and God immediately took care of the situation. That's just how God works. Now, if God would heal those folks, how much more would He heal someone as wonderful as you? Right? You know it. Praise God. How great thou art. Numbers chapter 12. Verse 1. We're still in the wilderness. Then Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married. For he had married an Ethiopian woman. And they said, has the Lord indeed spoken only through Moses? Has He not spoken through us also? Haven't we prophesied? Don't we get revelation from God? I can preach just as good as He can. In fact, I might preach a little bit better. And the Lord heard it. And the Lord heard it. Verse 3. Now the man Moses was very humble, more than all men who were on the face of the earth. Wow, what a testimony. The most humble man on the face of the earth. And the most used man on the face of the earth, wasn't he? Hallelujah. Most humble man on the face of the earth. And you know what's interesting about that verse? Moses wrote it. That just hit me one day. Moses wrote that verse. Imagine standing and saying, I'm the most humblest man on the face of the earth. You say, my Lord Jesus, you're the furthest thing from it, just by that statement. No, not if you're speaking by revelation of God. Not if you're speaking the truth. Humility is speaking lies, being deceived, self-deceived. But he was speaking by revelation of God. He was writing by revelation of God. The most humblest man on the face of the earth. What a testimony. Verse 4. Suddenly the Lord said to Moses, Aaron and Miriam, come out, you three, to the tabernacle of meeting. So the three came out. Then the Lord came down in the pillar of cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam. And they both went forward. Then he said, hear now my words. If there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, make myself known to him in a vision. And I speak to him in a dream. Not so with my servant Moses. He is faithful in all my house. I speak with him face to face, even plainly, and not in dark sayings. And he sees the form of the Lord. Why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? You see, the more humble we are, the more God will stand up for us. Pride stands up for itself and gets in God's way. But the more humble we are, the more we just rely and trust in him, the more God will stand up and protect you. Hallelujah. The more he'll stand up and defend us. And that's what he's doing right here. He's calling them out. Moses isn't defending himself to them. God's defending him. Let God be your defense. He wins every case. Doesn't he? So he calls them out. And he lets them know what they did was not right, not good. Verse 9, so the anger of the Lord was aroused against them, and he departed. You should underline, he departed. He departed. The Lord. He departed. And when the cloud departed from above the tabernacle, suddenly Miriam became leprous, as white as snow. Then Aaron turned towards Miriam, and there she was, a leper. Suddenly, this skin disease clings to her. And I mean, it manifests fast. Now, a lot of folks look at that and judge it at face value, and they think, well, God, you know, he got mad. And so he struck her with leprosy and left. But that's not what happened. Judgment came upon Miriam. And judgment is not God's hand coming down upon a person, but it's the hand of God being removed from a person. For there is nothing evil or bad in the hand of God. For God is good. God is love. There are no curses in him. He is a blessing. So when you got God, you got the blessing. When you got God, you got protection. When you got God, you got health and wholeness. And all good things when you got God. But if God is forced off of your life, if he is pushed off of your life to the place where he departs, even just a few steps back, you are vulnerable to all the curses that are already here in the earth because of sin and Satan. Darkness is here in the earth. Leprosy is here in the earth. There are all kinds of diseases here in the earth. There are all kinds of viruses, plagues, all kinds of things. They're here in the earth, but they can't touch us because God is here. And we're in him. We're in him. So we're safe and secure. But Miriam did things that were obnoxious and repulsive to God. By the way she talked to Moses, she was talking to God. It showed where she was at with God. For Moses was God's representative to them. So when they spit in the face of Moses, they were spitting in the face of God. Now, if somebody stood in front of you and started spitting in your face and saying a bunch of obnoxious things, how long would you stand there? You wouldn't stand very long, I'd hope. Somebody spits in your face, you're going to take a step back immediately. Right? Somebody spits on you and starts cursing at you, well, you're not going to hang around that. They're pushing you away. That's exactly what Miriam and Aaron did. And Miriam, I believe, was the leading spokesperson here concerning murmurings against Moses. And she, by her murmurings, was pushing God, murmuring against Moses, she was pushing God away. And so God obliged her and departed. He backed away. And when he backed away, a curse came on her immediately. Leprosy, which was already out there in that wilderness, came right upon her, manifested on her body because of her slander and her rebellion. She brought these things upon herself. But notice what happens. Verse 11. So Aaron said to Moses, "Oh my Lord, please do not lay this sin on us." Suddenly, Moses isn't that bad of a guy after all. We know where to go to for help once again. The guy we were complaining about and say, who does he think he is? We can do better than him. We can prophesy. We all hear from God. Suddenly now, Moses isn't that bad of a dude. So there, Moses, as Aaron comes, "Please do not lay this sin on us, which we have done foolishly and in which we have sinned. Please do not let her be as one dead whose flesh is half consumed when he comes out of his mother's womb." So Moses cried out to the Lord. Remember, Miriam was Moses' sister. Aaron was Moses' older brother. This is older brother, older sister. And I believe when it says Moses cried to the Lord, I believe he was crying. He was crying for his sister, saying, "Please heal her, O God, I pray." Then the Lord said to Moses, "If her father had but spit in her face, would she not be ashamed 7 days? Let her be shut outside of the camp 7 days, and after that she may be received again." So Miriam was shut out of the camp 7 days, and the people did not journey on till Miriam was brought in again. Notice this. Moses cries out to God, and within 7 days, this woman with this serious incurable disease from a hell that is on her body is completely healed. Hallelujah. Don't tell me my God isn't a healing God. Come on. If he would heal someone like Miriam, he would heal you. Who wouldn't he heal? Amen. But you see, she opened the door to the devil and allowed him to come in. God steps back, devil come in, right? Devil's always looking. Bible says he goes around seeking whom he may devour. Seeking whom he may devour. That means he can't just devour anybody anytime he wants. He's seeking whom he may. Well, who may he devour? The ones that have pushed God away. They're the ones who he may devour. So we keep God close to us. If we do something unlovely, we do something that we know in our heart that's not right, let's not cover it up. Let's repent for it right away. Let's receive the mercy of God, and let's stay close to the Lord. And then we'll have that confidence of knowing that you can't touch this. Doesn't matter what the devil's saying. Doesn't matter the symptoms he's throwing around. It doesn't matter. You know that you're in God, and he is your shield. He is your protection, and no weapon formed against you is going to prosper. Hallelujah. Praise God forever. Thank God we can grow in our fellowship, in our relationship with God. Keep the blood of Jesus applied to our life. Walk in a continual vacation in the Holy Ghost. You know, Proverbs 15:15 says, "He who is of a merry heart has a continual feast." Hallelujah. Our hearts have been made merry because we're not burdened down with sin. And Satan has no dominion over us anymore. It's Jubilee time. Glory to God. And we have an audience with God, and whatever we ask, we'll receive from him. We can even pray and intercede for the rebellious, and God will hear us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, don't get me wrong. Miriam and Aaron had something to do with the healing too. They repented, didn't they? They didn't just repent to God in a closet somewhere. They came out of the closet and came to Moses and repented. They got it right with the one they had sinned against. And the one they sinned against had faith to be able to receive from God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God forever. And friend, it's the same today. If anyone has sinned among you, he says over in the book of James, Let him confess his sins. Confess to one another. If it involves other people, confess your sins. Let the elders pray. The prayer of faith. And the prayer of faith will save the sick. The Lord will forgive the sin and heal the sickness. Amen. That's a New Testament promise. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Can you say amen? Amen. Come on, let's stand on our feet and thank the Lord for being so good. Hallelujah.
That concludes this message. For more information about Life of Faith Bible Church or Stephen Fraser Ministries, go to our website at lofbc.org. While you're there, be sure to check out the many other teaching series and books by Stephen Fraser. That website again is lofbc.org. And you can always call 888-542-2555. We trust today's message has encouraged your faith and strengthened your spirit to live the victorious life. And until next time, remember, we always triumph and we always win.